All right, this is our first episode of War Robots Insider. This is Wargrave from the Brotherhood Clan. I have a fellow officer, Atomic Blaster, and I have another friend from Beer, Torikon. You guys want to say hello?
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Great. Glad we can all be together. We were all in a previous clan, and you know, we kind of left that clan and we kind of went our own ways, but we always stayed in touch. So for this first podcast, we have several topics that we're going to cover. So the first topic is, what's our opinions on the game with the recent map changes? This means that TDM, Team Deathmatch, the Beacon Rush, where basically we don't have a choice, right? It's random, right? And then we got this King of the Hill that they're piloting, right? So I kind of want to get you guys' opinion on it, right? Because there's a lot of controversy around, you know, is the matchmaking fair? Is the maps fair, right? And what's the logic that Pixonic is thinking about going forward?
Okay, who wants to start?
I can start. I'll tell you what I think. The first off, even if it's the same map, like if it's Yamato or Shenzhen, if it is deathmatch, it's a completely different set of robots you need because of all the barriers and things and the goals of the game change. So I think it's a way to force you to have many more hangers by giving you not only different maps as far as a long map and a short map, but changing it to TDM makes it a completely different game.
You know what? I never thought of that, but I think you're exactly right, because that's what it did to me. I actually had to buy another hangar because the maps are so, or the gameplays are so different.
I can't see anything. What do you think, Tarkan?
Look, I'd have to agree. TDM has a very different play style to obviously the other two game modes. And look, some players, I can tell, particularly in my clan, detest TDM because quite often the matches draw out for 10 minutes long, they become tedious, people hide the entire match. It's often, you know, just a case of who has the longer range weapons. And, you know, you are at a distinct advantage if you have purchased multiple hangars. Look, for me personally, I don't dislike it as much as many other people, but I do think the lack of being able to choose can be very frustrating at times, you know, like particularly if you get multiple maps in a row. For me, that's TDM. Almost every time I play, I'll get three or four TDMs in a row, you know.
Right.
And if you're the kind of person who doesn't like TDM, I can see that being very annoying. That's the King of the Hill.
This goes back to our original, or one of our theories is that Pixonic's just trying to drive sales, and this kind of forcing of gameplay is making people rethink how to organize their hangars.
You know, it's exactly that. If you use you need a splash damage weapon in order to kill people behind barriers, and at the same time, you want a quick kill on a small map. So if it's a small map, you're going to come out with your Orkins, you're going to come out with your Terrans, you're going to come out with those type of weapons. And then you go on another map that's a TDM map. You know, you're getting shot with Tridents, you're getting shot with Tulumbas, and there's no escape. There's no way you can make 3 inches up the map against anyone on that in that game. When there's no purpose where to go.
Yeah, I agree. I also think like Pixonix is spreading their players too thin, right? Because now what happens, right? You're waiting for a while. You get paired up with other players that you think are not fair to match up against, right? So the pool of players in each game type is really divided.
It is, and that's what's caused this problem. They're trying to make the game interesting by having different game modes. But unfortunately, if they add each different queue, so if you were able to choose between each different map style, you may find that it would take very long to get a match because there simply aren't enough players in each of those types of maps to be able to get a match.
Right, and I actually emailed Pixonic about this, and, you know, they're automatically forcing Champion and Masters to always match up. And I've seen matches where everyone's Champion and the other side has one Master and everyone's Expert, right? And that's, like, considered fair by Pixonic.
Well, this afternoon put me from Masters into Expert. Literally, yeah, well, did not have the right robots by splitting up my my robots into two hangers. Neither hanger would work on TDM, and I was trying to get beacons. So I can't skip the maps because they penalize you now. So what are you supposed to do?
Right. So let's talk about, like, each game map and what do you think the hanger is that Pixonic was going for. Like, for TDM, I think that's the long-range map, right? How do you hit people without being hit?
I don't like this one.
And also, you want to kill them behind the barriers. Right. So, you know, you're talking about your Hydras, Talumbas, yes. Anything with splash damage. Even Orkins, if you can get close enough, you just have to shoot right next to them and kill them. They never get it. They have no chance.
Yeah, my Tridents get the most use out of TDM, to be honest.
Yeah, they do. I'll be honest, sometimes I think who wins a TDM match simply comes down to if the people on the other side get bored and jump out to attack them. It's honestly who gets bored the most and exposes their bot. That's honestly half the games I play, how they get decided.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
From what I understand, aren't you telling me also, Turka, that the big clans, the ones with the high level weapons that are trying to get quick games, they hate that because they get stuck in the game forever while everybody's hiding?
Well, look, I've certainly noticed a trend. I wouldn't necessarily say from the top clans, but I've noticed a definite trend since TDM's been introduced of lots of players killing four of their bots, and then they play the last bot simply to avoid that penalty for not playing in the match. But it you know, for the rest of the players, it assures that they lose.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think the current mechanism works at all.
I noticed another little tactic they use on that, where, let's say you're kind of losing, you don't drop a bot. So, like, half of your group of the six, four of them won't drop. And they'll wait for the enemy to actually come into your territory and then drop where they are.
Yep.
That's another thing that annoys me. You think you won the game because there's one bot left. Next thing you know, they all drop, you know, 4 minutes later.
Well, you know, like, the map sucks for Dash players when he complained that they can't kill you. Yeah. That's the one thing where Dash players feel that they're at a disadvantage. Yeah, especially on Canyon or Springfield.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the case.
Right.
If you've got anything super long range, Tridents, Tempest, you can often destroy them before they can get.
Have you guys tried the Dragoons? I got that thing killed me so fast.
I can't get past them. If somebody MK2 Dragoons on a Fury is literally on a large map, cannot even run at them. But even if you dash at them with a dash bot, you will never get close enough.
They should just call it the Grim Reaper.
And some of the maps aren't long enough that you can actually get out of range from it. So let's say I have a Butch with Trebs. Well, if they stand in the middle of the map, there's no place that they're not out of range. So I really can't line up and get them because they're going to shoot four shots at me that are going to blow me up, and it's the end of the game.
Do either of you guys play King of the Hill?
I'll be honest. I have played about two matches of it, and I hate it, and I've never played it again.
I think that's a Dash based gameplay, because you want to rush to that beacon as fast as you can.
I like it, but it seems like there's a strategy people have, like, I'm not going to go all the way to the other side of the map. I'm going to go to the middle and to my side and just keep those beacons, let them have the one on their side. So in that respect, I don't think the game is doing what they want it to do. Like, what if you have a lance? You're really going to walk across the entire map to get to that beacon? You're never going to get there. So what you do is set at your beacon. You just let them have it, and then you know when it comes to, it's eventually going to come to your beacon. You just stay there. So if you get three beacons with players there, you know, I don't think it's what they wanted it to be. If you wanted my opinion, I think it should be King of the Hill should be a center beacon. One beacon. And you fight for that beacon possession, and whoever keeps it the longest wins. So you have to fight. You have to go in there and take that beacon. There's no other beacons.
But that's how you used to play when you were a kid, right?
That's exactly right. That's what King of the Hill was. It wasn't five hills. It was one hill. And everybody knew where everybody was going to be. You can't camp. You can't run. You can't hide. You got to show up.
Right.
That's King of the Hill. I don't know what the Russians thought it is, but that's not what it is.
So let's go into the next topic here, right, which is the biggie. So this is what do we think about the Inquisitor and Dash? Is that the Dash has been out since last year for a while, and the Inquisitors recently came out like a few months ago. Right, they made a big impact on the games, and you can see there are clans that are just totally based on those bots, right? And we could throw the Spectre into this category as well, which just came out, right? I think the Champion League is just made for these new pay-for-play bots, and they're pushing everything else down to the Masters.
Well, the new Dash is stealth, right? Everything that's coming out has a stealth mode.
The upcoming bots that are not out yet, that's our next topic. But let's talk about what's already out.
Well, the Inquisitor was the big one that we're going to jump. You're not going to be able to see it. And then you got the Spectre. You're going to jump. You're not going to be able to shoot it. So those two are you know, the enemy of Dashes. Because even if you show up, once it jumps, you can't do anything about it. You can just watch it shoot you.
Yeah, I feel like someone complained that they die too fast, and they invented this stealth mode for most of these new bots.
I personally think the Dash bots were the single greatest mistake they have made in the game. And look, you could use that you could have the opinion that in previous generations there was a Rhino generation where, you know, they basically trampled everyone that come in their path. And that was true, and true with lances as well. But I still don't think it was to the level of what the Dash bots have impacted the game.
Yeah.
I think that's reflected in the fact that more people left the game than ever before. I've seen a few people note that in the Champions League that, you know, there used to be 70-plus league tables in the champion bracket. You know, that's considerably reduced now. And, you know, some of that is players tanking down to lower leagues, but I think the vast majority of those genuinely have left the game. It divided the player base into two camps, the haves and the have-nots, and the haves were the people who paid lots of money. And in saying that, a lot of those paid money and then fraudulently claims back through Apple to get their money back with no intention of ever really buying the product.
But Pixonic is actually revoking accounts for people called loaders. I don't know if you know what these are, but apparently, and there's proof already, that people in like China or other countries where the currency is less than the dollar, they pay less. So what's happening is people in the U.S., right, so it's like $99 for 14,000 gold, right? But in these other countries, you'll pay like $28 for the same amount of gold, right? So what's happening is people, again, they're sending money via PayPal or Zoom to out of the country to pay these people, and then they'll give them gold back in return. So basically, they're getting like thousands of gold for like 60, 70% off.
Yeah, well, that certainly doesn't happen in my country, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does happen. But, Yeah, as I said, it's the whole new meta of the game drastically changed how the game's been played. And as I said, you know, the speed at which all of these new bots were adopted was some of the problem too, you know, that overnight people went from having classic hangers to having, you know, Mark II fully loaded dash hangers, and you simply could not compete. And a lot of that just comes down to very poor decisions made in the design of the bots. You had, you know, for example, Heiichi, and I'm not sure if that's how it's pronounced. I saw something posted the other day about the pronunciation. But anyway, you know, you have a bot that has an Ansel that regenerates and can retreat and can have three Lorcans. And for a classic bot, that is a very difficult thing to attack.
The amount of damage it delivers, that was the game changer. The amount of damage per time these three Orkins or three, you know, Tyrans or even three Punishers, when they're MK2 on top of a bot that's really difficult to kill, I mean, they just unload on you. When you die, even if you get the jump on them, you'll start shooting, your weapon will be ineffective, and they just take you out because they have so much more firepower, and then they act like they have some kind of skill, when really, no comparison. It's like bringing a bat to a M16 fight.
Look, I think some of this could have been, at least, it could have been tempered with better design. Like I've said before, you know, dash bots should have to expose themselves to corner shoot, maybe. You know, that could be a weakness, that if you want to fire your Terran and corner shoot with a dash bot, maybe the bot should have been wider with the weapon centrally located, so it has to be exposed to corner shoot. That would be a weakness. But unfortunately, they didn't really build in many weaknesses into these bots.
What was the last nerf they gave the dash? Was it like a longer reload time? Or I forgot.
They decreased the Ansel, I think, 15%.
But I don't think anyone noticed.
It increased to 20%. So really, your MK2 is 5% greater than the bot that was already overpowered.
Yeah, which is a joke. Yeah, an MK2 topic is, like, huge. Because I think, my personal opinion, is that MK2 should be in its own league. Right, basically, I look at them as like the majors versus the minors, right? Because you have these MK2 players that are dropping in league to go to silver and gold, and they're just destroying everyone, right? That should not be allowed, first of all. So Pixonic needs to fix that. But like personally, I think MK2 bots should just move to a different league, or like a whole new league.
I think an MK2 bot automatically puts you in the champion league in matchups, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
So there's no if you tank and go to silver, so that you don't get as big of awards. That's your punishment, but you're still going to get matched up with the same people, so you can't tank. Once you have an MK2 bot in your hangar, that one MK2 bot ruins the whole thing.
That's a good quick solution that doesn't require a total rework of the game.
Yeah. You know, and the MK2 ruined the game because it made you redo bots twice. I already had bots.
They were totally
good. Oh, it took forever to do that. Now I had to do it all over again. It's like, forget about buying a new bot. My old bots are my new bots. I'm working right now on a Lancelot. I had four Lances at level 12. Now I'm starting all over again.
Right. Look at this evolution, right? So you had like the Lance, which was like before the Dash, right? But then the Dash came out, then the Inquisitor, then the Spectre. Right, each bot got worse than the previous, I think. Right, the Spectre is like the king of the worst new bots. You have four medium weapons on a bot that can go stealth, and it looks like a flies. Not only can
stealth, fast, the thing can run quick.
Yeah,
you can run across the map and jump and end somebody before they even start.
We played a battle. I think there were three or four Spectres. It was ridiculous, and they all had shock trains.
They can be very difficult in some configurations and some maps. I do find their impact possibly not as bad as the dashes, at least from the games I played. That window of, you know, the 19 seconds or whatever it is, at least gives you a good chance because of their low hit points to kill them. And as other YouTubers have noticed, if you just peck away at them long range with, you know, long range weapons, you can deplete a lot of their hit points without being touched by them. But certainly the four shock trains is a tough configuration to attack them, you know. Yet again, I think they missed maybe an opportunity of possibly after it unloads, maybe for a period of time it can't run as fast, so it makes it difficult for it to retreat. You know, I feel Pixonic often, in an attempt to make a bot that's more attractive to buy, they miss the opportunity to make it well balanced.
Right. I'm wondering if there's like a legal thing also, to be honest. Let's say you bought the dash, you spent $300, and then, like, let's say they nerfed it when you fire your weapon, you can't dash for the next 10 seconds, right, or 5 seconds, right? I'm wondering if someone could say, I paid a lot of money, and you guys destroyed this bot. I wonder if there's any recourse.
I definitely think you could, and I do think there are limits on what they can do to balance it after the fact, and that's why it's very important to get it correct the first time, to get the mechanics right at first, not try to retrospectively fix it, because in many ways they can't.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's the current situation that they're in now. That's what I was starting to touch on before. You know, there have been some players who've bought the bots and they have found legitimate complaints and, you know, asked Apple for a refund, but I certainly have heard lots of stories of players simply make multiple purchases of gold and dash bots, getting a hangar, you know, that's completely upgraded to, you know, the next day, and then claiming it was a mistake and getting their money refunded from Apple. And I think a lot of that happened with dash bots, and that was a lot of the problem, that there wasn't a gradual adoption of these bots. It happened overnight.
Do you remember when the dash bots you can just buy outright without components? Like when it first came out, you could actually win a whole dash bot without getting like a piece of it.
Yep.
You know. Yeah, it's kind of a joke.
I still think the component system as it is, I think the better way that it could have been approached is that you just win generalized components. So instead of winning Inquisitor components or Vortex components, you just win components. And then you can put them in whatever bot or weapon you want. But, you know, the prices could vary. So, you know, a Heiichi or an Inquisitor might cost a lot. You know, a different kind of weapon like a Gust may not. I think they missed the opportunity there of allowing people greater freedom in where their components were.
Well, Pixonic did kind of try to address or try to solve it with the workshop points, right? So you can apply that to any component. Although I agree with what you said.
Look, I think why they've chosen the system they have is to slow the adoption of people purchasing the premium type bots. But as I said, they could have set a price for those that was more premium, you know what I mean?
It'd be funny if Pixonic releases a $500 bot. That'll be like, you know, that'll be like their, how can you say, the gold Apple Watch, right? The one for $10,000.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate, you know, like some other games, just looking at Rules of Survival, they haven't gone the route yet of making you purchase weapons, you know, so it doesn't affect who can win. All of their purchasing options are currently just cosmetic. Now, I know we do have some paint jobs, but it's just unfortunate that Pixonic hasn't gone further back route.
You know what I heard from other Discord chats? That the person that introduced pay-for-play recently left the company, and the guy who took his job was the guy who created the original War Robots game. So maybe changes are coming.
I did see some article referring to that, that I didn't see about him reading. I only skimmed over the article, but you know, some of the discussion that he made was basically, that I did read, is that he said, get in, you know, make it that you make as much money as possible as you can out of the game, as fast as you possibly can, and get out, more or less. And that would explain a lot of the changes that have happened.
Yeah, he just took advantage of, like, the generosity or the big, how can you say, the fanatics of the game, right, that really want to spend money to win. All right, let's go to the next topic, right? So let's talk about the upcoming robots, right? Specifically the Falcon and the Pursuer. So the Falcon is like a bird or a falcon that has three large weapons. So when you walk and use it, it uses one of the three. And then when you jump, it goes into stealth mode. And then you can use all three large weapons, right? And then you're visible while you're flying, and then you have 5 seconds after you land, right? So that's the Falcon. The Pursuer is like a fast robot that goes up to 90 kilometers an hour, but also goes stealth, right? And it has three small weapons, right? I think the Pursuer is the camper killer, right? It's meant to chase after, I think, bots that are camping and then destroy them, right? And the Falcon, I'm not exactly sure what that thing is good for, but it's interesting.
Yeah, look, I haven't played them on the test server, so it's hard for me to comment, other than saying I do not like the stealth mode mechanic on any of the bots. I don't know, it just feels like it reduces playability when there's all of these bots that... You know, half of their attack cycle simply cannot be shot at. I never thought it was a great design decision, and I still don't. I think there could be a better way to do it. I'm not sure what that is, but I understand why they've done it. They've made it so that the jumping bots can't be blasted out of the sky in a single shot from a trebuchet, for example. But
right.
I think all of this comes back to the bad design mechanics of how the aiming has been implemented. As I've said to you before, the problem with, I feel, in this game, how a lot of the long-range weapons work is they will auto-lock on and deliver vast amounts of damage, and there is no difficulty in aiming any of the range bots. Contrast that to virtually any other FPS-type game you can think of, where you have to zoom in with a scope, but aiming is difficult, you lose field of view, you have to target a moving object, and that counteracts the single shot difficulty with the difficulty of aiming, and this game has not resolved that problem. And I think a lot of these silly game mechanics are a result of that the long-range weapons, you simply lock on and fire, and there's no difficulty in aiming, and I think they have to think of another game mechanic to resolve that. Honestly, in my opinion, I think all of these problems with the bot designs come back to that fundamental flaw of how the game operates.
Yeah, I think that's just a targeting. I mean, they made it the same for all the weapons, right, including long range, right? As long as your crosshair's in that target box, you can hit it, right?
Yep.
But I agree, like, the farther out, it should be a little more difficult to actually hit it.
But, you know, if you do hit it, you can kill it. That would mean that this complete stealth mode while the bots are jumping would be unnecessary, you know? And if you're a skillful person who can aim well, you can kill. But, you know, if you're not skillful and your timing's not good, you will miss. And that is how every other game treats this long-range sniper shot type weapon. but that mechanic doesn't exist here. And I, like I said, I think it's forced them into these design decisions that, you know, you've got bots jumping everywhere, firing weapons that are untouchable.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Go ahead, Atomic.
No, I agree. The new robots, they keep elevating the ability to kill them and ability for them to kill you so that it forces a hangar change. Like, we're constantly rotating hangars. Like, whatever you have to now add these new bots. And the one new weapon that I fear the most is the Flux, which is a large gecko. And if you think about it, the gecko itself is overpowered. This isn't a medium gecko. This is a large gecko. So on a long-range map, there's no escape. Mm-hmm. This thing goes infinitely distant.
I feel like Pixonics, like, what's the next OP bot we can create? And they come up with this crap, you know? And how can we kill a Dash with something that's even more crazy, right?
I saw someone make a joke about that the other day. What's next, a heavy Orkin? there'll be a heavy version of every weapon. There'll be a medium version of every weapon and a light version of every weapon, you know?
Right.
Oh, dear.
Don't give them any ideas. They may come out with a large Orkin. Then what?
You know what? I'm waiting for the bot they make invisible, like true invisible. You don't even see it on the map or your radar.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll use it like the Klingons so that it doesn't fire when it's invisible and it has the decloak to shoot you.
Right. Or a bot that messes up your auto-targeting, right? Like, you know what actually wouldn't be too bad? If you could manually target bots and it worked. You know what I mean? Like you could do in Quake or Call of Duty, right? You don't need to auto target, but you can just just move your crosshair and shoot it.
Yeah,
it's like manual targeting sucks in this game.
Especially when somebody's under a bridge or underneath you, and you know one tactic that I think is a very clever one on the moon map is always have somebody walking around on the top of the tunnel and people underneath the tunnel. You just have your same teammates go there. It'll keep forcing the target. If you go right on line with them, it'll force them to target to the closest one, which is right above you. So they can't even shoot. They're locked onto someone else, and then you just shoot them, and it's better than stealth. They can't even aim at you.
Yeah.
That's an evil little tactic that I've seen the clans use.
Well,
that's good.
Yeah. I will say exactly what you were saying. Manual targeting, and by that I don't mean changing it to the manual mode where you press the button to select different targets. Even, you know, if you get a Terran and fire a Terran at a bot, just manually, there is a very small window in which you hit it. And the rest of it, you seem to miss the bot. It's like projectiles not hit the bot. The collision detection just doesn't seem to work right.
Right, like stealth auto-target. I'm with that one, right? But, like, if you manually are holding your weapon in real life and you point at something, you should be able to hit it.
I agree with you.
That would make the game more awesome, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, if I can go after a Spectre and say, screw auto-target, I'm just going to go Rambo on this guy, why not?
Well, look, I still don't think that the damage detection is perfect either. The one thing that I always say to people, have you noticed when you fire on an Ansel bot? You know, so if you just keep tapping your button with Orkins and hit someone's Ansel, you seem to deplete it more than if you just completely unload on it. It's like some of your weapons don't hit when you just do the complete unload. So I'm not sure how their damage detection works, but to me it still doesn't seem right.
You know what? We can test that on the custom server. I would be very interested to see that, because that could explain a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, some of it could be because, you know, when you're tapping it, you're firing for a longer period of time, so you do have to take that into account. But, you know, look, I notice because I'm not Mark II, if I just walk up to a bot and completely unload my orphans on it with an Ansel, I might deplete its Ansel and do a little bit of damage if it's a Mark II. But if I tap a couple of orphans and just deplete its Ansel first and then fire, I do a lot more damage.
You know what, man? What might be happening is that it's doing the damage of the first Orkin missile, but then you're shooting while the first one's doing damage and it doesn't get recorded.
Yeah, that's what I think, is that when you do the fast unload, it's like some of them don't
get recorded. It gets queued up, essentially, right? It's doing one at a time.
Well, we'd have to look at that very closely to, you know, count the number of Orkins that are fired. Because as I said, when you pre-fire, you might be spending longer pre-firing than you expect. You know what I mean? To say you spend 5 seconds pre-firing to deplete the Ansel and then you unload. When you do the reverse, you have to unload and do 5 seconds at the other end, to be fair, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But to me, it doesn't seem to... Mm-hmm. necessarily always hit the same.
So one of the new bots that we actually joked about that they're going to create is the Scorcher or something like that. It blows up, or ISIS bot,
which I believe they stole from me, because I came up with that a long time ago.
we joked about that a long time ago, didn't
yeah
you? Like, wouldn't it be funny if
we called it the suicide bomber bot, remember?
Yeah, that's right. Wouldn't it be funny if there was a suicide bomber bot? And sure, lo and behold, what did they announce a month later? The suicide bomber bot.
Exactly. So I might be having to get a lawyer and sue them for half the money that for every bot they sell.
So what do you think about people abusing it that want to drop, right? They'll eject 4 bots and then they'll suicide themselves on their 5th bot.
Look, I understand their frustration and why they do it, but it's completely unfair. What you're then making happen is all of the remaining players who are there lose the match, particularly they do it in TDM. And if you do that, they've already got 4 or 5 kills, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
100% right.
Yeah, I'm predicting people are going to abuse it like that.
Oh, yeah. That definitely would.
Although I wonder what an MK2 version of that bot will do.
I don't even want to know. But I do like the red band that goes around so you know how close they are. And the fact that it runs super fast, so you can't really run away. There's no running away from that.
And
that
it should be able to hit you, even though you're a stealth, it should hit you. If it doesn't, I'll be pissed off.
I wanted to tell you something about that. A lot of clans that are very smart will bunch together with their dash bots and use all their Ansels together and unload Orkins. And, you know, it's very difficult to, like, get them when there's, you know, 9 Orkins unloading on you, you know? But with that bot, you can jump around the corner, run into them, run right through them, and then blow them up. It's a beautiful thing. They all get that.
Does it blow up right away, or is there a timer on it?
There's a timer, but it's so fast, you can time your attack. You know what I mean? Like, it count 5, 4, 3, 2, and start running at them, and 1, there's nothing they can do. It's a sneaky little
thing. How much damage does that thing do?
It tells what the damage is. It also damages you slightly, but it damages them more. And I think it's
a pretty good amount. Like, doesn't it destroy your bot?
Could be like 20,000 damage or 30,000 damage.
Wait, doesn't it destroy your bot?
No. You can do it several times.
What? Oh my god.
It blows you up a little bit. Like you lose a little bit, but so you can do it two or three times. On top of it, it has
a weapon. Why did they invent this thing?
So it also has a weapon. It has a large weapon and a small weapon, so it can still kill you without even blowing up. So while it's blowing up, your shit's shooting at you. I told you, when this thing comes out, and the bots, the nastiest one is called the Pursuer. If you think you're going to sit in the back shooting, the Pursuer, when that thing hits its mode, it's running 166%, whatever that is. And it is, it looks like you put your bot in high-speed motion, like fast motion, like your video, and you put it in like fast-forward. It looks like you're fast-forwarding the game. The thing runs so quick.
It remember, remember that video you made with the Aliens theme, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the is it the Scorcher bot? Is that what it's called?
Could be, yeah.
Okay, so whatever it's called, right? So I feel like that's a scene in Aliens where the humans basically ran out of bullets and all they have is that grenade, right? So the Scorcher bot will be like the last, you know, last chance to get the enemy, right? They'll be surrounded by the dashes and just kill themselves.
Well, what if three of us had one? Three of us had each one, and we just fly across the map because the thing runs really fast when it's in bomb, and then you just blow them up right when they come there. You know, like they don't even get a chance to like get out of the way. They're walking across to get a beacon, and then you run over and blow them up. I mean, you're going to need, like, a guy in front and a guy sitting back a little bit covering you. Like you know, like 20, 30 meters in front of you in order to beat out those bots. That way you can shoot them and be in a safe distance away. So you got that guy. Don't release those bots.
So what do you think, like, Pixonic might release in the future with a new bot? I'm thinking they're going to have a quad large bot.
They talked about adding components to the existing bots. And you can buy the components, like possibly Fly or Ansel or something like that they were talking about. Like, components. That was in the... You know, one of their
leaflets. Can I get a dash on my my butch?
Possibly. Maybe you can buy.
Look, some component modules I think would be interesting. It would open up the gameplay a bit. One of the things I really don't like about the game design at the moment is that certain bots against other bots simply, you know, you can almost predict 95% chance you'll be killed. You know what I mean? That there's how do you put it? A predictability to who will win with certain configurations. You know what I mean? If you've got Orkans against an Ansel bot and you're not Mark II, you know, you can't deplete their Ansel quick enough before they can kill you. You know what I mean? There's a predictability. Each bot is specialized enough that against another configuration bot, the outcome most of the time will go one way, if you know what I mean.
I'm predicting these customizations will really push players out. If you customize a dash or a Spectre with something else, I don't know what that's going to look like.
You know, I'd like to see change.
The danger too, that you could invent certain configurations that are pretty darn difficult to beat, and yeah, that is a problem.
You know, one of the things I always thought that they should have done with the game that is very simple to do and it would actually help their sales. You know, they want to sell these skins for $20, some of these skins, but they don't really affect the performance of it. I think that it should give you some kind of an increase in hit points or something if you buy a skin. Like, why is it just the color, you know? Why can't it say, hey, you buy this level skin, it gives you 20% more hit, or buy this skin, it gives you 20% more speed. You buy this skin, it gives you 20% more powers to your weapons, or, your, you know, something like that. Then that would be pretty cool.
I agree. And that's kind of what I was trying to get at before. There needs to be more variability in each bot so that particularly if a bot comes at you, you don't know if it's going to be a little bit faster or a little bit more powerful or just so the outcome isn't always so predictable between two bot configurations.
You know, that would be pretty cool. Like, I know, like, a blue skin bot has better shield and a red skin bot has more speed. And a yellow skin bot may increase the power of the weapon. Like, wouldn't that be cool if something increased the power of your weapons another 20%? So let's say you had an older style weapon or a silver weapon that's MK2, and then you boost it up again. You know, that would start, you know.
Wait, you don't think they're going to do an MK3 in the future?
If they make MK3, I will burn my computer and my iPad. I really will.
Coming. You know it's coming.
Mark 3 will be ridiculous. Come on, man.
I think what's happening is they know exactly how many players were level 12 and maxed out and it's just sitting there, right? They're going to do the same thing with MK2, right? There's going to be a certain population. Once they hit a threshold, they're going to release MK3.
Correct.
Imagine that.
And I swear to God that sometimes they use my account as that benchmark. Because it seems to me, as soon as I catch up, out comes the new thing and I'm back with trash.
Listen, what really bothers me is when they release a new bot. On that very day, I'm fighting an MK version of that bot. How is that possible? You know what I mean? You know,
there certainly are some players with very deep pockets and I don't know what they can do, but I think they have to address that somehow. You can't have the situation again where you have Mark 2 dash bots all over again, you know, with the new bot configuration.
Well, I have a whole theory about that we'll get to when we talk about the conspiracy thing, where I see a lot of these Legend League people with these Max Hangers, but they're never on Discord chat, they're never on Facebook, they're just invisible people. How could you be that dedicated and do all that and never contact anybody? I think that they're ghost accounts.
Well, let's segue into that, right? So we'll go right to conspiracy corner. So basically, this is what we think is going on with Pixonic based on unnamed sources, let's say. So we have several theories going on around why Pixonic does what it does, and we think, you know, we have an idea, and we want to discuss it here.
Absolutely.
Right. So I think, you know, one of my theories is that Pixonic, it could be a pyramid scheme. So I'm thinking, like, the top players are paying into the system, you know, to basically, or how can I put it? Well, the people at the top that are been playing the longest, right, basically are putting in the most money, obviously. But, like, the fact that they're putting money into it, it drives the lower players to also put more money into it, right? So you're going to have this, like, vicious cycle going on, right? So, I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, Pixonic has this weird economy and, you know, it's like one giant scam that they just want to keep people paying it into.
Without a doubt, that is what they want. They want people to keep paying. And in some ways, you know, I don't blame them for that. They're a company that has to make money. I just have trouble with how much money that they're wanting to make. You know, the whole game design, as I've said before, even the trophies thing. If you look at how trophies are allocated for each clan, it's how much damage you've done. And how much damage you've done isn't necessarily the best players out there or the best clans out there. It's the people who play the most. And why do they want clans playing the most? Because the more people who play, the bigger the game gets. It's all geared towards keeping people playing, if you know what I mean. And You know, the more people playing, the more hours they play, the more money you spend, the more they make, you know?
Do you think that they're actually, like, using algorithms and scanning our Discord chats and clan chats and all that on the game itself?
Oh, look, I definitely think they would keep an eye on social media to see what, you know, the opinion of the player base is. Do I think they're doing clandestine things to break into people's machines to find out? No, not necessarily. But, look, doing market research and, you know, seeing what your players do, analyzing that data is pretty standard for any company, you know.
I personally think when they come out with a new robot, they flood the market by giving them away to certain people in order to stimulate other people to buy it. Because on the day something comes out, I find it hard to believe somebody dropped $2,000 in gold and silver and the robots and the weapons to do that. And like you said, I see the top people in this Legend League, but I've never seen them on anything. It's kind of weird. They don't talk. They don't speak. They don't communicate. You're that dedicated to the game that you're the best player in the entire game and nobody knows you? Nobody talks to you? It's kind of weird. Are they Pixonic players? Are they actual Pixonic workers? I don't know.
Well, Torricon, you actually had an interesting theory that the top players were the real players and everyone else was like AI or something like that. Like, we're just like cannon fodder for them.
Yeah, well, look, as I said, when when you play this game, if you're a paying customer, you are the person that Pixonic wants. Everybody else who is not a paying customer, we are really just there to keep the paying customers happy, to be interesting AI for the paying customers to obliterate. And that really has been the way that the player base has been treated with, you know, the result of the Dashbots. It was so imbalanced. Quite frankly, everyone who was a non-paying player, you simply are not competitive. And, you know, as I said, it really seemed to be we were just there for the amusement of the paying players. And what I think, fortunately, Pixonic pushed that a little bit too far with this last update where a lot of people walked away from the game. And funnily enough, even some of those were the paying players because it became so boring for them to you know, obliterate everyone so easily. I've seen quite a few paying players walk away from the game as well because it wasn't a challenge.
So let's go into a little bit more conspiracy here. So I'm wondering what you guys think if this game is some kind of Russian psyops, meaning they want to observe how we play and adapt to what they do to us. Meaning, like, they want to put us in scenarios that we know are unfair, and they're trying to watch our behavior to make, you know, some kind of future decisions on how to, I don't know,
go after us. Maybe they're using, like, our combat knowledge about how Americans think and fight. That way that they can track us, so if they invade us in a real war, they'll exactly know how to fight us. This is all military. In other words, it's a military operation by the Russians to analyze American combat thoughts and stuff from their there's plenty of soldiers that play this game, plenty of veterans, plenty of military people that are on this game. Maybe they're studying them and their tactics.
You ever think of that? I mean, there was a game in the U.S., I think American Soldier or something, like, or America's Soldier, and they used it as a recruitment tool by the Army. So if you did really well in there, you get a phone call.
Could be something like that, because think about it. Look how much data they have on how we react to when someone's here, what we do, whether we hide, whether we camp, whether we do this, whether we do that, what weapons we choose to buy. Maybe they're creating weapons that are going to, you know, prototype weapons that they kind of know that we're developing, and they're putting them in a robot game to see how we'll use them.
Look, my personal opinion is none of that is actually happening. I think they are just a greedy Russian game developer. But in saying that, all of those things you theorize, I think, are very real things you could draw from the data. I mean, people don't realize quite how much information can be mined from data. And certainly you could do those things. I'm not convinced any of that's happening in this case. But, you know, I agree with you. There certainly are a lot of American veterans who play this game. And, you know, you could draw possibly some conclusions by how they
play. You don't think this, like, Ender's Game, where we're playing a game but it's really real in real life?
We could be fighting a war in some other universe right now. In theory, it is possible that right now we're fighting a robot war.
And you guys remember Ender's Game, right? The aliens were overpowering the humans, right? So the humans had to figure a way to overcome it. So you can say the top clans are the aliens.
Yeah. And don't forget when
am I here?
What was that?
I said, who am I? Am I really here? Does this exist? Am I talking now?
We don't know. Well, we are in our universe, but we don't know what's going on in theirs. You know what? Another thing, like on a less conspiracy thing, is the Hangar X. I think the Hangar X is the ultimate force impulse buy machine. Because I got to tell you something. I go on that Hangar X and we try some of those weapons. I'm almost ready to buy it. Like, you know, after
I'd argue that they're losing an opportunity in Hangar X, because what they need to do is let you pick the robot and then buy it on the spot.
You know what? You should be able to buy already maxed robots. That would be even better.
Don't give them ideas.
It'd be double the price. Whatever.
It'd be like that, that iPhone app that was pitched for a gem for $1,000, right? We're going to be spending $1,000 on a robot.
If somebody told you 10 years ago that people would be dropping thousands of dollars on a video game, you would tell them they were insane.
Look, I honestly think as a if I was doing university studies in psychology, I reckon it would be a wonderful area for investigation to why some people are so desperate to win in a computer game that they would spend thousands of dollars to win in a computer game. To me, that feels like some kind of character flaw, but I've heard many justifications from this is my hobby to any other kind of crazy justification, that I'm certainly one of the people in the camp that I think you'd have to be insane to hand over that kind of money for any kind of
digital asset. Well, I do think you're right. There is some psychology going on, because I know if you don't play this game for a while, they'll gift you thousands of gold.
Well, look, I will certainly say this. It's not common knowledge, but a lot of companies, a vast number of everyday companies that are out there, when they create advertising, they will seek a psychologist's opinion how to get people to buy more, to be hooked, to want a return. And look, I would be completely unsurprised if they had consulted a psychologist to, you know, develop mechanisms for impulse buying, for making people, you know, I've seen people who dislike the game who feel compelled to continue playing.
I think they talked to a drug dealer. What's the latest crack?
Honestly, some of the behavior is like addiction. And I laughed when, you know, in your hood plan, you had a Pixonics Anonymous. But in many ways, some of the players compulsion to keep playing, and playing for so long is habitual.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know.
And particularly playing when I've heard them say they don't enjoy the game, but they have to keep their numbers up or something crazy to that effect. Personally, you know what's... just fluctuate. When I enjoy the game, I play it a lot. When I don't enjoy it, I stop playing.
You know what I find? I'm always going on the game when I wake up to empty my chests that they give you, the gift chest, to make sure that that's done, to do a couple of free spins, that they tell you to watch some videos.
You know what? That chest thing is a that's a way to get you into the game more frequent. Because you're always trying to get that chest.
You better believe it, and it's working.
Yeah, because it. I think, what is it, every 4 hours or 8 hours, right, you fill up?
They calculated in one day it'll definitely be filled, and they want to make sure you're back to empty it.
Right. Yeah, they have these little hooks, man, to get you to play the game.
Oh, yeah.
But I think also because people are leaving and they're trying to gauge people to come back in somehow.
Well, it works because you don't want to give away all those free. They give you silver. They give you keys. They give you robot components. They give you everything you could possibly want.
Yeah, it'll just take you except your life. To get anything.
The cost of your life. That's what they are.
Yeah, so... I think we can conclude this podcast. You know, we talked about a lot of topics here, and you know, I thought we had some lively discussion here.
We did.
You know, I'd like to thank you guys for joining on our first podcast.
Welcome. That was
fun. See you later.
Yep.
All right. We'll catch you guys later. And stay tuned.